Last week, I wrapped up the mini-series on defining terms, and today we're tackling the topic of navigating transitions at the start of a new mini-series called Midlife Mixtape. Whether it's a career change, a shift in relationships, or questioning of beliefs, transitions can be challenging, but they also offer opportunities for growth and transformation. So let's talk about what happens when everything in your life feels like one big change. Welcome to Life Repurposed. This is where midlife meets inspiration, practical guidance, and renewed purpose amid life's evolving chapters. We navigate faith questions and messy, uncertain twists with humor and a commitment to pursue treasure, even in the hard stuff. I'm your host, Michelle Rayburn, the author of books and Bible studies about finding hope in the trashy stuff of life. Hello to you from Northern Wisconsin. It is an interesting season for us because we have had some unusually warm weather for winter. In fact, we didn't even get enough snow for people to get snowmobiles out. And we usually get feet of snow every winter. So it's been kind of strange. And that means that the trees are starting their process a lot earlier. And so my husband has been making maple syrup. And I am just back in my studio right now to record after spending the afternoon and the evening with the entire family over at my son's farm, where everyone was cooking down maple syrup and having supper together and all those kinds of fun things. And so I'm telling you that because I'm going to be talking about change and transitions. And one of the things that's changed is the size of our family, the way we do things now that I have married children and four grandchildren. And all of that is so different from the way we lived life even a decade ago. It has brought with it brand new things and beautiful things and some challenges that come with it along with that. The last few weeks, I have spent talking about some of the phrases that are heard in Christian circles and looking at some different perspectives and just talking through some of those that we may use all the time, or maybe they just irritate us. And so just looking at defining some of those. This week, we're starting a new mini series here at the beginning of March, and we're shifting into one called Midlife Mixtape, rocking out to the soundtracks of our middle years. I'm doing this because I wanted to talk about some of the topics that come along with being kind of in that 40-year-old, 50-year-old age as things are really changing. We call it midlife. And I know if you're listening, there may be a listener here who's saying, yeah, I'm not even close to midlife. I actually really think of my own midlife starting around the mid-30s, just because that was the age where I started to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And so for me, that was kind of a change. I became a mother really young. I was 23 when I had my first child. And so I feel like my midlife came a little bit easier. That is a Freudian slip. It actually came a little bit earlier for me than maybe for some people, just because by that time, my children were already in middle school. So wherever you are, I want to talk about just what it means for us to be going through a season of transition in life and going through some changes. So each week on this short little series on Midlife Mixtape, I'm going to take a fun 80s song because I went to high school in the 80s and I think 80s music is still pretty cool. And so I'll just take one of those songs and create a fun little twist on a title for our track on the mixtape. So this week is called Don't Stop Upheavin'. What happens when your whole life feels as if it's in some sort of upheaval and it's one transition after another? Getting into those later years of midlife after you've finished college, you've established the start of your family, and you're just sort of settling down, getting into that everyday routine. Maybe it's right before the kids start leaving home, or maybe it's a little bit after they've started, but midlife is kind of like a game of choose your own adventure. But instead of exciting quests and treasure hunts, it's more like choose your own curveball with chapters like, why does my hip hurt today? And where did I put my metabolism? We'll talk about some of those things in upcoming episodes in the mixtape series. we hit our midlife and sometimes our social calendar changes because when we were younger, it was parties and having friends over, or going to concerts and doing all those things that you do when you're, you know, in your 20s and early 30s. And now it becomes parent-teacher conferences and dentist appointments and ball games and concerts, and not the kind of concerts we get tickets to, but the kind where our kids play the trombone and we listen to the marching band kinds of things. So it also, like I said, is a time of sometimes trying to figure out what we want to be when we grow up. I changed careers. I left a career as a registered nurse after deciding to stay home with my kids for a while. And then when it came to be that point where I thought, okay, maybe I want to go back to working outside of the home. And then I didn't really want to go back to that career. And I decided to go back to college and get a master's degree in ministry leadership, which really wasn't related to my nursing degree at all. In the middle of that time, 18 years ago, our family was packing for a big move. So I was a student. I was working on my master's degree online when it was still kind of a really new thing. Like, the internet had only been around for like a decade. Sorry for those of you who are listening and saying, I don't even know what life is like without the internet, but I chose to do an online degree when it really wasn't all that popular. So my husband was changing jobs, and we had purchased a home 5 months ahead of moving because he was going to be going into a missionary support position working at a Christian camp. And so we were raising our support for his initial salary. And so that gave us some time, but we were trusting the Lord and saying we're going to be making this move. So we were house shopping way ahead. So 5 months before moving, we had purchased a home. And we were going up north then, a two-hour drive on weekends to do some fixing up on it. Some people go up north to their cabins. We were going up to our house that desperately needed some stuff. We live in, just for a side note, we live in a home that was a church and a parsonage originally before it became a home permanently and the church closed as a church. So we have this 115-year-old sanctuary attached to our ranch house. I won't even go further on there, but you can imagine if you have a house that's over 100 years old, what kind of fixing you need to do on it. So at this time, we were in our later 30s, mid to late 30s, and it felt like a really big deal for us to be moving away from both sets of parents. We met at church as teenagers. We were high school sweethearts. We got married when I was 20, so we were really kids, and we had attended church with our parents during that entire time because we met there and our parents went there. And so we had never really left home in that sense, that we had never ever together chosen a church and chose where to settle down. We just lived in the same community where we had grown up. This move for us was going to involve our boys changing schools in middle school. So we were planning to do it during the summer so that, like, as soon as school let out, we moved. We just didn't want it to happen in the middle of a school year. And we knew that this was going to involve finding a new church. I didn't know the community at all. I only knew a few people who lived here. And when I was in my early 20s, I feel like change was easier for me. I moved so many times as a college student. Like, you move every year, you haul everything home again, and then you move it all back to the dorm again. I moved mid-semester from an apartment to a dorm. So, like, I felt like I moved every 6 months or even more often than that. And when I was in my early 20s, I was a newlywed, and so it was just the two of us. And then the biggest change was having children and leaving my career as a registered nurse. But as we approached those later 30s, we started wondering, where would we settle down for the rest of our lives? Are we going to stay in this community where my husband was born and raised and where I had been familiar with for most of my life? But the more settled we became where we were, the more nervous it made me to think about starting over again somewhere new. And because I was also reinventing my career by going back to school, it just added a lot of layers to the whole thing. Every transition comes with a set of tasks, and that can be daunting. So, for example, our move involved things like house shopping, potential renovations, packing, and then eventually unpacking, cleaning, because, you know, you got to get your, the house we lived in was actually owned by my husband's employer. So we had to get it back into the shape it needed to be in when we moved out. Kind of like if you rent, you know what that's like. There was going to be an address change and all the paperwork and things that came with that. And, you know, that often that's a phone number change and an email change and new friends and registering for a new school and registering utilities in your name and all the to-do lists. It's so overwhelming. At the time we moved, when I was working on that degree, I had to figure out how to get connected to the internet and complete my classwork like as soon as we moved, because I had this little break right around the time we moved, and then I immediately had to get back to writing papers. So I was writing papers and packing boxes, and then took a little break, and then I was writing papers and unpacking boxes. I was trying to watch videos on dial-up internet. So there were all these things that were just adding stress. So our theme of 2006 was don't stop upheaving, because everything in our life was an upheaval. We also had some losses during that time. In the late 2005, my husband's mom passed away. She had had a long journey with cancer. And so we were in the talking stages of moving. And my husband's job included housing at the time. So if he quit his job, we would immediately be homeless. And so there was all these things. It can be so overwhelming when change comes and when transition comes. I don't know what your experience is. I don't know where you're at with whatever transition you're in. But I want you to think through some of these, because maybe you resonate with one of these. Perhaps you're assessing your career paths and you're considering options such as changing professions, seeking new opportunities for advancement, or planning what you need to do to get to retirement. My husband was really smart. He started thinking about retirement before we even had children and started putting some money from his paychecks away. And I never realized how smart that was. But now we get to the place we're at. We're thinking, well, that was a little, but do we have enough? And what kind of career do we need to have in order to be ready for the next phase of life? Being in midlife, or even in the years where the kids are a little bit older, it brings some changes in relationships, maybe even a change in your marriage, changes in friendships and family dynamics. Maybe you've been divorced. Maybe you're facing an empty nest as the children start leaving home, or maybe you're in that phase where you have lost parents, like my husband has lost his mom, or other loved ones, and it's like a new thing. Before, you could just kind of keep moving on in life, and you didn't think about that very much, and all of a sudden, there are these relationship shifts. As we start to get older, we encounter some health-related transitions. Maybe managing chronic conditions, experiencing menopause, or 600 years of perimenopause. I can tell you all about that. Or adopting new habits for overall well-being. I can tell you that when I was in my 20s, even though I was working as a nurse in a cardiac floor, I didn't think about blood pressure or discuss it with friends. And then all of a sudden, there comes a phase in life where we're suddenly starting to discuss medical things. And we're like, what are we, 85, that we're sitting around and talking about these things? But it starts to pop into our minds. We start to have labs done that we never had to have done before. I touched on financial planning a little bit. Maybe you're reevaluating financial goals and plans, and that might include saving for retirement or investing or managing debt. It is really like we were debt-free before we moved to the house we're in right now, and then all of a sudden we had this mortgage in midlife, and we had to figure out, like, how are we going to pay for a mortgage, or how are you going to pay for all of your children to attend college, which these days is like giving each one of them a house if you're going to pay for it. Sorry, kids, we didn't pay for yours, but you found out ways to make it work. So if you're listening, thank you for doing that, because Dad and I didn't have that kind of money. But if you're somebody who's thinking about that, that is a challenge to figure out how to get your kids educated. This can also be a time of questioning your identity and purpose in life. It might involve a search for meaning, a desire to pursue new hobbies or passions, or a reassessment of personal values and beliefs. I've talked in these last few episodes about some of those defining terms, but I've also been talking over the last season or so about sorting through and deconstructing some past beliefs and letting go of the things that I've realized are not biblical and holding on to the truth of loving Jesus. And so maybe you're in that. Maybe your children are starting to leave home and pursue their own paths. And this can be a shift in your routines. Your responsibilities and roles within the family start to change. And this happens in phases sometimes as children slowly leave home. For me, it happened within a couple of years because my two children are 2 years apart. And so it was like really within a 2-year span, boom, we are empty nesters. This might mean a time of starting to care for aging parents or relatives, which adjusts your time, your resources, your emotional support. Maybe you're experiencing a deepening of your spiritual beliefs or a questioning, like I said, of things you previously held onto. And maybe you're in a time of incredible spiritual growth because of that exploration. Perhaps, like me, you moved, you've geographically relocated, maybe your lifestyle has changed, financial status, or maybe you're rural and you were city, maybe you're moving to be closer to family members. Maybe this is just a time for you of personal growth and development, pursuing further education, choosing new hobbies or interests, or maybe going to therapy for the first time and seeing a counselor for emotional or psychological support. I don't know where your journey is because everyone's journey is unique. But the challenges and opportunities that you encounter will vary based on your individual circumstances and experiences. Now, transitions can be particularly challenging when there's a combination of internal and external factors there. Some things that you can control, some things you can't control. I've talked about some possible transitional changes that you might be experiencing, and now I want to look at some of the reasons why this is so difficult. Let's dig into the emotions of it a little bit. I know we don't always want to go there. I live in an area where there are a lot of stoic Midwesterners who really don't like to explore their feelings, but let's go there a little bit and look at some of the responses that you might have to a transition in your life. Going through an identity crisis might be part of it. It often prompts us when we go through some kind of a transition or a change. It might make you question who you are, looking at what you've accomplished, leading to feelings of this identity crisis, or maybe existential angst. This can be especially challenging if your sense of self has been closely tied to your roles, like your roles in your family or your roles in your career. When the change happens, it really affects our identity. It even affected my identity when one of our big changes was leaving a church we had been part of for quite a while, and all of a sudden I'm not doing the roles that I've done for a very long time. That's happened to me a couple of times, and it really shakes you up when all of a sudden everything is new. This can also, going through like a significant time of life change, can also bring up some fears. Switching careers was really scary for me when the kids had left home and I decided to work outside of the home in a completely unrelated career to what I had been doing. There's a fear when relationships end or when we relocate. There's this uncertainty that comes along with it, and that unknown may cause us to resist taking risks because we don't want to step out of our comfort zone when there's this fear of the unknown. And so sometimes it keeps us from doing the thing that would actually be best for us. So it's an emotional response to the uncertainty. Society often places pressure on us to have achieved certain milestones by midlife, such as career success, financial stability, maybe family stability. And if you feel as if you fall short of those expectations, it can lead to feelings of failure or inadequacy. I remember in my 20s and talking with financial planners and looking at like where you should be by a certain point. If you invest money now, you will have this much for retirement. And I know now when we look at our retirement fund, we can't retire for a very long time. We're going to be working for a while. And it does cause kind of this, there's this pressure of like, ooh, we're not where we should be. And is there something we did different? Did we fail? Are we inadequate? And those are conversations that come up. And some people really struggle with that pressure. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you identify with that. Another thing that you may experience is a significant loss, like the death of parents, a divorce when the kids leave home. These losses then trigger feelings of grief and mourning. It's kind of a disconnection from your past identity, but that grief is real. And I have met people who have grieved a lot when their kids left home. They really struggled with it because their identity is so wrapped up in that role that they have played and that conversation and the daily things that are part of being in that role. And so maybe you're experiencing loss and grief and you're really struggling with getting through that. The last one that you might be experiencing are some physical changes that have come along with change. And so it comes with insecurity and vulnerability because it comes with a change to possibly appearance. So it's not all just health related. Like it's not just well-being. It could be self-image. Menopause is a great example of that. My body has changed a lot during menopause. Things have shifted around. My midsection is fluffier. Some parts of my face sag more. I have silver highlights and I still pretend that they're just blonde highlights. Those are some changes that cause some of us to feel even more insecure about things that we can't really control and that we want to. And then, like I said, the things like financial stability and looking at the future and just, okay, talking about it starts to build some stress and anxiety, doesn't it? Okay, let's move on from that because I don't want to like cause you stress, but I want you to be aware when you are thinking about a change or when you are thinking about a transition, I want you to be aware of what emotions come up. What are you feeling? Is it an identity crisis? Is it a fear of change? Are you caving to the expectations of society? Are you feeling loss and grief about it? Are you struggling with the physical changes and responding to that? All of those things affect how we respond. You may also find that your support networks have diminished. It may be due to changes in relationships or just geographic distance from friends and family. And this can leave you potentially feeling isolated and unsupported during times of a transition. And so even changing churches leaves you without the support system you once had. All of a sudden, a bunch of hot dishes, maybe you call them covered dishes, casseroles, would be really nice when you're recovering from surgery. But if you've just moved to a new community or you've just changed churches, you don't have those connections with people. Nobody even knows your need. Sometimes we get to a point, especially in midlife. And when I say midlife, let's just say here that this can be a really broad range. I'll let you define what you see as midlife. We can sometimes reach midlife with those unfulfilled aspirations and regrets about choices we've made in the past. And coming face to face with these unrealized dreams can be emotionally challenging and may prompt some of us to reevaluate our path and consider if it's too late to make changes. And I want you to know that it is never too late. So if you're sitting in a place where you think, I should have done whatever I'm thinking about doing 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it is not too late to figure out a version of what you want to do right now. So if you have those regrets, I want you to think about that. And I want you to look at where your support system is. And you might have to find a new support system in order to move forward and take whatever steps in this time of change. I know some people who also have struggled with facing their own mortality as they get further along in life and as they've lost a few friends. You know, even some of my young friends have experienced things like cancer and really had to go through some big things. And so if you're reflecting on that and it's making you think about the meaning and purpose of your life, or you're experiencing depression about that, I encourage you to talk to a counselor and talk to your physician. Because I'm going to give you some tips here, but none of the things I'm talking about are exclusively the only way for us to handle life transitions and changes. Sometimes the best way of handling our emotions is talking with a professional, and sometimes it's medication. So whatever you're experiencing, if your support system needs to be reaching out to some professionals, I encourage you to do that as well. Transitions are like a storm that sweeps through the landscape of our lives. It shakes the foundations and uproots the familiar landmarks. It can leave us feeling adrift, disoriented, maybe even questioning the paths we've taken and the ones we're yet to take. But amid the chaos, Faith stands as a beacon of hope, guiding us through the fog and illuminating the way forward. And this is something that I've discovered in life, that a lot of these ups and downs that I've navigated, I can't imagine navigating without knowing that I have God along my side. And that has evolved and changed on like how I express my faith over time has changed. I've grown. I've changed. I say different things. I teach different things than I once taught just because my understanding of the Bible has grown. And in the silence of our souls, we often find ourselves wrestling with the questions that demand answers. Who am I now? Where do I belong? What is my purpose? These existential inquiries that define the midlife journey, and they're often intertwined with matters of faith and spirituality, because don't we go back to wondering, like, who am I? Who brought me here? What was my purpose? What is my future purpose? Where do I belong? We all react in different ways to the emotions that I mentioned a minute ago. I cry when I'm frustrated and tired. I also rage clean. Suddenly, everything that never bothered me before drives me crazy, and I have to clean, and I have to lecture everybody about all of the things they left out that should have been put away. I eat M&Ms. I scroll through Instagram looking at reels with puppies and room renovations, and then I finally start getting around to what I really need to do. So if you're wondering, what is your next step? I've talked about the problem. Now let's look at some practical strategies on what we can do. Let's look at 5 ways for how we can handle some of the emotions in a constructive way as we're dealing with the insecurity that comes along with transitional times. It can be challenging, but adopting practical strategies can help us navigate it more smoothly. So here's some tips. 1, embrace openness and surrender. Instead of resisting change, adopt a mindset of acceptance and surrender. Understand that not everything is within your control, and allow yourself to surrender to God's guidance. He's given me a real sense of peace amid a lot of uncertainty, and for me, this has meant being willing to seek God when life feels completely chaotic. It looks like talking to myself a lot of the times, but it's really talking to God. It's just me going about my day, expressing my frustrations, expressing joy along with them. It's me having daily and all day long conversations with God and bringing Him into my experience and just being honest about how I feel. In the midst of when the calendar looks way too full to squeeze in that repair appointment I didn't expect to add on top of all the other things, this relationship with God is what makes me more capable of handling those stresses when they come. I don't have as many meltdowns when I'm having conversations with God. The second thing that's important for us to do is to let go of the need for control. Now, I'm pointing my finger at my own micromanaging self here because I love being in control. We need to recognize that trying to control every aspect of life and every aspect of our loved ones can actually exacerbate the feelings of insecurity. Have you ever noticed that? When you feel out of control and when you try to control more and then you can't control, you feel even more insecure and more frustrated. Now, I said, I hate feeling out of control. I don't even like napping when my husband's driving because I want to make sure he's not speeding. I want to make sure he's not falling asleep. I want to make sure that even when I'm not in the driver's seat, I'm kind of in the driver's seat. But learning to focus on what I can influence and learning to let go of the rest has been really helpful for me. I actually still don't nap in the car, but that's another issue. When it comes to the other things in life that I really want to have control over, when I realize that I can't always control the process, I can't control how long something takes, I can't control the waiting time, when you trust in the process and you have faith that things will work out as they're meant to be, the unexpected stuff doesn't feel like as big of a deal. So if you are a control freak like me, I encourage you to practice letting go of some of that control. The third thing that we can do is cultivate spiritual practices. I've already talked about this a little bit, but I want to make sure you understand that I'm not giving this as a to-do list of shoulds. Instead, I want to think of these as ways of refocusing when we can't figure out what to do next. So having some things in your toolbox to be ready when you need them is how we can manage when we're kind of in that crisis mode. But not putting this heavy task on us of like, you have to do these things. So I'm thinking about it more in terms of engaging in activities that nurture your soul and provide a sense of grounding with God. This could include daily devotionals. It can include meditation, prayer. It could be attending church or a Bible study. But these are practices that resonate with you that you can incorporate into your daily routine. Again, not with shoulds, but with not with added stress, but with a sense of eagerness to have a moment of peace. It's like your safe place where you go to be with God. It might look a little bit different every day. Your routine is going to be something that you can make fit into whatever's happening in your life. I'm going to talk about that in a second and give you kind of a metaphor for an example. The fourth thing that we can do is practice mindfulness. When you stay present in the moment and you cultivate an awareness of your thoughts and emotions, then it keeps them from going totally off the rails. And I don't know if you've noticed, but my thoughts can run away from me faster than a toddler in Target. Like it's just, I go to this thing and that thing and pretty soon I'm just, whoa, I'm manufacturing a whole scenario. So when you're mindful, and there are different mindfulness exercises. Some people use deep breathing. There are different things that you can use to help calm your mind and reduce those feelings of insecurity. For me, one of the things that I love that actually also helps me to be mindful is to feel the sun on my face. If I can take a stroll, if I can go to the track at the school and I can walk for a while, feeling the sun on my face can do wonders for my mind because it takes my focus away from whatever's bothering me and I can focus on nature. And I actually kind of focus on my breathing when I walk because I don't know if you've noticed, but when you start taking one step in front of the other, it's like your body just gets into this rhythm. And so it also brings my mind into alignment and I'm not stewing about something. The fifth thing that we can do is serve others. Engaging in acts of service can shift the focus away from your own insecurities and onto helping others. Now, I want you to know I'm not trying to pile something more on in the midst of change or in the midst of a transition. This is more organic. It might be volunteering in your community, but it also might just be supporting a friend in need. It might be stopping in the middle of it saying, you know, I'm not going to say I'm too busy to do this thing to help support a friend because that's actually the thing that helps me take the focus off the stress of what I'm doing. It might be just a listening ear. It could be acts of service to somebody living in your own home who really would love to have acts of service from you instead of a lecture. I know my husband would prefer affirming words and acts of service over any lecture I could possibly give in the middle of a really stressful time for us. I also find that as our children have grown up and left the nest, that sometimes those acts of service are for our own adult children. It's not always for somebody in the community. It might be pausing to help watch the grandkids on a day when it would be helpful to them. Now, after we think about these five things and we cultivate some coping practices, we also need to embrace the journey itself. That means embracing the messiness, the uncertainty, and the beauty that comes with a transformation. So we don't always know what the outcome is going to be, and we can't like be control freaks enough to get it all lined up ahead of time. Sometimes we just have to trust the journey. And it means that even in the darkest moments, there's light to be found. So even when I'm feeling like I am not going to get this to-do list done, I know that there is hope and there are answers waiting to be discovered. And so for me, a lot of it is that mindfulness that comes along with saying, okay, I don't know where this journey is going, but I'm going to trust the process. I was on a walk in California recently with my sister near the coast. We were climbing a hill to get to the view to see the ocean. And the climb involved going uphill a ways and then downhill a ways. And then we knew when we came back, we're going to have to go uphill a ways and then downhill a ways again. And we're climbing the hills. I told her something kind of crazy that I do when I'm out walking with my husband and we encounter a hill. My husband and I like to walk. We live near a state park trail, and it's really a nice way to unwind after work. But I hate hills. I really don't like going uphill. I get out of breath. My legs hurt. My hips hurt. I don't like climbing hills. But if I spend the entire trek up the hill thinking, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, I really struggle with it even more. So I have tried to focus my mindset in a different way, and it gets better. So the trick that I have, and I'm pretty sure my sister thought I was crazy, but I keep telling myself I'm walking on a flat surface. I also have other mind games I play, but this is the one that I've been using the most recently. So it feels as if my feet are stuck in gum, because if I'm telling myself I'm walking on a flat surface, it certainly is not easy because my legs are very heavy. But I keep looking at the top of the hill and I imagine that I'm strolling along on a level surface to get there, and that surface is a little tough to navigate, but I'm going to get there. Now, I have found that this mind game works for the overwhelm that comes with life's transitions too. If I focus on the top of the hill, like the proverbial top of the hill, and I keep taking steps, I get there. Yes, it feels difficult, but let me explain why it works for me. When I'm hiking on a flat trail out in the woods, I notice the flowers around me. I pause to see an amazing orange mushroom that I've never seen before, and I might pull out my camera. I smile. I need to do these same kinds of things on the strenuous hills. If I can stop to notice the flowers, I can smile. I don't need to make a big deal out of grumbling about the hill or huffing extra loud to make sure my husband notices just how much effort I'm putting in back there. I'm usually the one behind him. I just grab my walking sticks and I move forward. So let's apply that to life. Do you ever get into a crisis mode with each transition and then you turn it into more drama than it needs to have? That's where the rage cleaning comes in, so I'm telling you this because I know what it's like. That's where composing 100 complaints to friends and yelling at family members comes in. But if we pause, maybe that's to pray, pause to smile at someone, pause to notice something beautiful, it makes the changes and the transitions easier. It gives us joy in the middle of that hard stuff. Maintaining a positive mindset can be a powerful tool for navigating through challenging changes in life. So when faced with those difficult circumstances, focusing on something beautiful amid the chaos can offer some hope and resilience. Rather than giving in to negativity or lashing out at those around us, shifting our perspective toward finding moments of joy can make a significant difference in how we navigate through tough times. In the midst of a big life transition, it's natural to feel overwhelmed and consumed by the situation. However, by intentionally seeking out snippets of beauty, whether it's a kind gesture, a ray of sunshine breaking through the clouds, taking a photo of something beautiful, or the laughter of loved ones, we can cultivate a sense of gratitude and optimism. And these small moments of joy serve as reminders that beauty can still exist even in the hardship, which gives us a sense of comfort and brings us joy. And so when I think about the hill climbing metaphor, it really is like that. It's like when I get going crazy on to-do lists and all of the things that are so like, I'm going to use the move as an example because there's so many tasks involved in getting your family moved to a new location. And if you get so bogged down in that and you don't make time for the things that really nourish your soul, it just makes the whole journey harder. It's just like climbing a hill and saying, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. Rather than allowing our emotions to dictate our reactions, focusing on the beauty around us allows us to respond with compassion and understanding to others as well. So instead of spreading negativity, we can uplift others. We can offer a supportive environment during challenging times. And usually the other people in our life, like our family, are feeling the effect of the change too. Sometimes we think it's just us. you know, I've got all these things I have to do. And I forget that move was hard on my kids, too. It was hard on my husband, too. It was hard on the family we were leaving behind. Finding that joy in the middle of a transition can serve as a source of motivation and the strength to persevere. So in essence, cultivating a mindset focused on pausing along the way to refocus in the middle of the challenge really enables us to navigate with grace and resilience. I touched on drama a little bit, and I don't know about you, but when something stresses me, I'm naturally drawn to drama. It's almost as if it provides a release for the angst, like picking a fight just to get the emotions out of your system. Avoiding drama, particularly when we find ourselves naturally gravitating toward negative situations, really requires a multifaceted approach that's rooted in self-awareness and in boundary setting and proactive decision making. So if you're in the middle of a life change, I want to give you a couple of things here to think about, because you might find yourself naturally drawn to drama. You might find yourself picking fights with the people around you because that drama is just a way of expressing the frustration that's within you. But it's first crucial for us to recognize the patterns that lead into the places where we start to make those decisions. Pay close attention to your interactions and emotional responses. When you do that, you can identify recurring triggers and sources of stress. So it might be people, you know, sometimes it's just the individuals around us, but a lot of times it's the environments. It might be topics of conversation. It might be patterns of habits that are frustrating us, and we can take preemptive action to overcome those. It's also important to establish clear boundaries because that's how you steer clear of drama. So boundaries might mean limiting interactions with certain people, might be refraining from getting involved in negative talk, or maybe removing yourself from a toxic environment. And when you have those boundaries, then it safeguards your emotional well-being and prevents drama from coming into your life. And if you're in a time of transition, this is especially important. You don't have energy for drama, yours or someone else's. Assertiveness also plays a role in avoiding drama. Learning to communicate your needs, opinions, and boundaries, and learning how to do that calmly and confidently allows you to navigate potentially contentious situations with grace. When you can assert yourself respectfully, then you can avoid getting entangled in conflicts that would otherwise escalate into drama. And the other thing that's important to recognize is that prioritizing self-care strengthens our resilience and equips us to handle difficult situations with greater composure. This is the kind of thing I was talking about with the hill climbing example. I know that if life is nuts, you might have told yourself you don't have time for self-care. Making time for activities that nourish your body and mind and soul, whether it's exercise, meditation, spending time in nature, or pursuing hobbies, these all replenish our energy reserves and they enhance our ability to handle whatever comes along with the transition, even if it includes some conflict and even if there's some drama there that's totally outside of your control. So if you're in a transitional phase right now, your life requires a proactive approach that's grounded in self-awareness, assertiveness, and boundary setting. Let me look you in the eye here. I know we aren't on video, so I want you to imagine me looking right at you. And as I say this, I'm not pointing a finger. I'm leaning in, and I'm telling you this heart to heart. Remember, you're not alone on this journey. Change can be intimidating, especially when it feels as if you're being pulled out of your comfort zone, but it's also an opportunity for growth, for renewal, and self-discovery. First and foremost, it's okay to feel resistant to change. It's normal to feel uncertain about the unknown and to mourn the passing of the familiar phases of life. However, resisting change can sometimes prolong the discomfort and prevent you from fully embracing the possibilities that lie ahead. So instead of viewing change as a threat, try reframing it as an opportunity for new beginnings and fresh perspectives. Even if that's the hardest thing you've ever done, even if it's your children leaving home, you have an opportunity for a new beginning and a fresh perspective. It's also important to give yourself grace during this time of transition. And yes, I'm still looking at you. Midlife, especially, is a period of profound transformation internally, externally, and it's okay to take things one step at a time. Allow yourself to feel your emotions fully, whether it's fear, sadness, or excitement, and do it without judgment or self-criticism. Remember that change is a process, and it's perfectly normal to experience a range of emotions as you navigate through it. If your best friend looks like she handles things just perfectly, she's probably experiencing some of this too, so don't compare yourself to others. As you journey through your different transitions, remember to stay connected to yourself and your desires and ask God what direction He wants to take you. You know, we talk about following our heart. It's possible to follow our heart when we're following the direction that God has implanted in us. And so I want you to take time to reflect on what truly matters to you and what you want to create in this next chapter of your life. Whether it's pursuing a long-held passion or redefining your priorities, exploring new adventures of self-expression, whatever it is, trust your intuition and listen to God's voice. And follow the path that resonates most deeply with what God has implanted in your heart. He has given you a unique vision, a unique calling, and a unique direction. And sometimes we go in a different direction and we just don't listen to what He's nudging us to do. I also encourage you to seek support from loved ones and community if they are people who you trust. If they are people who are going to provide godly advice to you, share your thoughts and feelings with those trusted friends or family members who can offer empathy, guidance, and give you some perspective, because their voices matter too. Surround yourself with individuals who uplift and inspire you, and draw strength from their love and support as you navigate this period of change. And finally, remember that change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Yes, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. When you choose to embrace the challenges and opportunities that come with transitions, and you see them as ways that you can grow personally and spiritually, then you all of a sudden start to see that you can grow from that, and that growth is optional. You can choose to trust in your resilience. You can choose to trust God's wisdom and have faith that you have everything you need to navigate this transformative journey with grace and courage. You are capable of embracing change and creating a life that is rich in meaning and purpose and fulfillment. For sure, you'll probably find yourself singing Don't Stop Believin'. But as you see how fun it can be to come out on the other end of a transition, you might also find yourself singing Don't Stop Upheavin'. It's like cleaning out closets. Once you realize how great it feels to experience the good things that come with life's upheavals, you might just embrace more of the same. Moving was great for our family. While I was eating M&Ms and writing college papers at 1 o'clock in the morning, it didn't always feel wonderful. But as we unpacked the boxes, we also unpacked a great future for our family. And I can't imagine if we had said no. Thanks for listening to Life Repurposed. Would you like more? Check out the Life Repurposed magazine on Substack and get resources, weekly musings, and conversations with others. Just go to liferepurposed.me.